Life Audio.
Hey, welcome to the Happy Rant Patreon only podcast, a very special podcast for our very special listeners. Not our friends, not our families, no, those who give us money via Patreon. I am Ted Kluck, joined as always in our very special Patreon studios by my good friends and partners in radio, Barnabas Piper and Ron Martin. The setup is simple. Pipe brings to the table one question, which we will then vamp about for 8 to 10 minutes in a way that is usually more compelling than whatever it is that we've just done on our main show. Pipe, what do you have for us today?
I have a question that is, it's a bit pressing to me because it's something that has come up recently, and it is, it's kind of a two-part question. The first part of the question is, why do people love to give unsolicited advice, particularly about parenting? And second, how do you handle unsolicited advice, particularly about parenting?
That's good, man. I'll go first in that I still have kids kind of in the house. So I have a freshman in high school and a freshman in college. And the way that I handle it, so Pipe, you'll relate to this, and maybe Ron will because he's sort of Midwest adjacent now. I'm pathologically Midwestern, so I can't at any point ever feel, I can't make anybody feel like their advice is stupid or forgettable, even though it usually is. So I'll stand there and kind of stupidly nod and stay in the conversation for way longer than I want to. And I'll usually even kind of low key lie and say something like, oh yeah, I'll try that. That sounds really interesting, while inside having no intention of actually trying whatever the thing is.
Inside you're full on East Coast. Like, what the bleep is the matter with you? Of course, that's the dumbest bleeping advice I've ever heard.
Inside, I'm full of rage and resentment, but outwardly, I'm like, outwardly, this person is thinking, I could probably take a vacation with Ted Kluck. Like, this is probably going to happen. And then, you know, a week and a half later, they like invite themselves to my house, you know. Being Midwestern comes with a lot of advantages, but that's one of the disadvantages, being unable to say no or make people feel bad. Big R, how do you deal with it? Unsolicited advice.
Oh man. It could be about anything. You might get it in ministry too, because I'm sure people have opinions about the ways you should run your church.
That is true.
You know, it's weird because it's like you get to this place. Well, I'll go back to the kid thing. So you get to this place where your kid is so old that people start coming to you asking you for unsolicited advice. And I'm telling you, man, it's one of those things where I've never felt like I'm an authority with any of that kind of stuff. And that's not faux humble humility either. It's just, it's one of those things where it's like, hey, so man, when your kid was 8, you know, and it's like, and I'm just looking at them. So it's almost in reverse to where they're asking me the question and I'm going, I don't know what to say. I don't know what to say. I don't know, you know, and you just kind of come up with something in the spot, which is along the lines of, hey, here's the thing. Like, I promise you, that's not a big item. That's not a big ticket item. Like, honestly, just relax, pray about it, be patient, don't freak out. The big stuff's going to come in like 6 years. And even then, I'm going to tell you, just relax and try not to freak out. Mm-hmm. And that's always what it comes down to, is just that that ability to say, I know it feels overwhelming and enormous right now, but I'm telling you, you're going to look back and you're going to go, that's what I was sweating out, you know? That is advice. That is some advice, but it's never like, hey, take these 9 steps. Cause I never had those 9 steps. I didn't acquire any of those steps. So I never feel like I have them to give. And I was never, so me and Big M, we were never like the, hey, I just bought the new parenting book. We never locked into that kind of stuff, which is probably why we made so many just torrential mistakes. But I don't know. It's all those things are so tricky and they're so subjective. And at the end of the day, it's like, dude, I mean, you're just going to need to pray and you're going to need to trust the Lord has your kid because there's not a lot of magic, you know, in all these things. So, yeah, I don't know.
That's good. Pipe, how do you handle this unsolicited advice?
So I'm like halfway between My daughters are sophomore in high school and seventh grade right now. So when they were, a few years ago, it was a lot of, oh, I remember when mine were that age, let me tell you. And I was like, I mean, yeah. I'm going to let you tell me, because the alternative is just going, no, shut up.
Yeah.
And that there's enough human decency in me to not do that. And I don't get that as much. I feel like, and maybe it's the nature of being at a church that has a lot of younger families. So the vast majority of the kids at our church are younger than my kids. So I don't get a ton of unsolicited advice from people who are further down the road with just so much wisdom to offer. And I occasionally get the kinds of questions that Ronnie talked about, which my answer is very similar. I usually just try to keep it really simple, because I abhor almost all Christian parenting books that I've read, because they all add up to A plus B equals perfect child. Even if they're like, this is grace-based parenting, this is shepherding, whatever. Right. You're like, no, it's not.
Right.
This is a formula for having a kid who is, you think, is sanctified. I usually, depending on who it is, if it's somebody I actually respect, I will politely listen. If it's somebody who I think you have no business giving me advice, I will try to very obviously dismiss them with my responses. So not a like, why are you talking to me? But just sort of like the full on corporate, I'll take that under advisement kind of thing.
Uh-huh.
File that in the circular, that sort of response, so that they just get the hint of like this is not a suggestion box. You don't get to just come here and drop your little card of how we should do things better in my life. And maybe that's arrogant of me. The piece that I don't understand is why people feel like anybody wants their unsolicited advice.
Yeah.
Like being asked for advice is, this feels like a good exchange. This is, you're seeking something, you're asking me, maybe I have it, maybe I don't, but that's a good, it's a good starting place. Just standing here minding my business, drinking my coffee, and somebody comes up and goes, I remember when my kids were that age, and you're like, Lord Almighty, here we go. Yeah. Why does that happen?
We're conditioned to do it for like fairly trite, kind of banal reasons. So like, everybody does it with their chiropractor, right? Like, oh, you gotta go see my guy. He's amazing. You know, when in fact he might be amazing or he might be mediocre, but the fact of the matter is you really only know one chiropractor, right? But we're kind of forever doing that with things that don't matter. And then maybe there's a certain personality type that becomes super comfortable with just giving advice like all over the place about everything and things that do matter even. Pipe, I have a quick question for you, and I know Ronald's got to hit the road here in a couple minutes. What's the, like, because you work in the church you work in, what's the trendy thing for like young parents now? Like, what are they all into? Because it's been a while since I've been in that game.
It has been a while, and we have an encouraging variety of parents. So it's like, it's not like, I was at a church for several years where like 80% of the families homeschooled. And so it was like, it was pretty monolithically cultured there, or churches where 80% of the kids go to like two schools. You know, it's very, very neighborhood regional kind of thing. We have like homeschool families and public school families and like granola crunchy families and, you know, very yuppie families and kind of all over the map. So I don't think there is a trendy thing. The one thing that I noticed amongst young families is it seems like parents of young children feel more pressure than ever to like craft their children. They want like curated children. You know, it's, so for example, I remember when my kids were little, it was like a light bulb for me when I realized, you know, giving your kids a bunch of toys and stuff is not as valuable as doing things that they will remember joyfully later. You know, the creating memories. Well, creating memories is now like an industry and it's a standard. Right. And so like, I watch people, you see their Instagram feed and it's like every weekend, it's like, we're at the horse farm and we're at the corn maze and we're at the music festival for Munchkins and we're whatever. Yeah. And I'm just like, I'm exhausted. You're like, it's, you know what else makes memories? Lying on the floor and watching cartoons on a Saturday morning with your kids. Oh, totally. That's a memory too. Chill out.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And what's crazy now that you mentioned that is I'm in the college business. I teach college. So I get their curated kids. and their curated kids are not perfect. They're still kind of resentful. I think the only thing that actually works is genuineness. Yeah. Like the only kids that show up at college and they're not angsty and they're not ready to rebel are the ones who really knew their parents. And whether that was laying around watching cartoons or throwing a football or doing whatever, as long as there was like genuine enjoyment there that ran both ways, I think those are the kids that kind of have a shot at it. But yeah, the kind of books that you're talking about, or even the kind of trends that we see in parenting, you're right. It's all about curating a certain kind of kid, which you just can't do. Like, I think that's a fool's errand.
Yeah. And I mean, I get frustrated often because my kids are pretty strong personalities, but mm-hmm. at the same time, their very strong personalities have probably kept me from making certain mistakes. Cause like, these are not malleable yeah. kids. I can't turn them into anything. So it's basically sure. put me in a spot where I'm like, well, I have limitations on how much I can mold them, but that's yeah. good. Cause now I'm not turning them into my version of what a good kid is. It's more just like, can I give them bumpers on their life as they just like roll away kind of thing. And that's where I think what Ronnie was talking about, he's had to jump off the podcast now, but what Ronnie was talking about, people seeking advice is, mm-hmm. is people who are still like, how do I make the perfect kid? I think that's often the sort of, the kind of panicked instinctive response. And yeah. yeah. And what he's saying with what my instinct now is kind of like, chill out. It's yeah. going to be okay. Just have fun with your kids instead of like making fun for your kids. I think that's another big thing is like, if you're enjoying yourself and they're enjoying themselves at the same time, it's going great. Yeah. If you're these are good memories and you will like them. Well, that's not a good memory.
Absolutely.
Well, good day to you. It's Joel with The King Country dropping in to let you know that our brand new film, Unsung Hero, is in theaters now.
It's Luke here. We've teamed up with the creators of Jesus Revolution to bring you this adventure of a lifetime. It's a powerful, true story about a family uniting, growing in their faith, and facing the impossible together.
In theaters now, unsunghero.movie for more information.
Rated PG. Parental guidance suggested.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-497-4410. I'm here with spokesman John Wolf. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-497-4410. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now. 800-497-4410.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
Pipe, what do you have for us?
I have a rather pointed question that could be controversial, not to you or I, but it's going to offend somebody, which is why we do this on Patreon. So the people have an obligation to pay us to be mad.
Yeah.
The question is this: are we obliged to like other people's children?
Oh man, that's good. We could do a whole episode on this, and I kind of hope we do at some point. I'm pretty forthcoming with people in my church, and especially people in my small group, about how I don't like their kids and how it's nothing personal. I just don't like kids that much. And it's become a thing that we can all kind of laugh about. And I still do the things that I need to do. I mean, I still open my home up to them and to their kids. But like, I think the understanding is I'm not going to do this sort of performative thing of pretending that it's cute when your toddler like rips all the DVDs off my shelf and like laughs, you know, or when you're, and this happened at one of my small groups, when your toddler like eats a brownie and then sort of motorboats my sofa to wipe his face off. Like I'm not pretending that that's cute. I don't enjoy it.
What's so the matter with you, Ted? Why is your heart hard? Why are you broken?
Dude, so this is a real thing though. Like I wonder sometimes if my heart is hard. And I'm just like, there's something I'm not seeing. I know the kids are a gift from the Lord. I know that they're like beautifully and wonderfully made and all that stuff. But when the kid is like motorboating my sofa, I'm like, please stop. This is bad. Don't do this. You know?
Well, you also, I mean, okay, if we're going to go biblical on this, spare the rod and spoil the child is a biblical principle, you know, like raise up a child in the way he should go. Conceived in sin. There's another one. Like there's a lot there that also says, you know, kids are a gift, but also they need a whole lot of guidance, help, discipline to get where they need to go.
Yeah.
So I'm not quite as forthright as you on this. I'm more like, I will put on a good face when I'm around your annoying child, not your annoying child, other people's. And then vent about your annoying child my entire drive home later. But yeah, I don't see any obligation to like other people's children, except for the fact that it is socially unacceptable to look somebody in the face and go, hey, get your kid in line. They're a jerk. Like that's not acceptable, which is a bummer because that's what a lot of parents need to hear.
Yeah, no, I agree 100%. And I'll give this one caveat though. There are kids that I genuinely enjoy. And I sort of treat kids the way I treat adults, in the sense that like I'm going to talk to you like I would talk to anybody else. And if I enjoy the experience, then I'm going to keep having it, you know? Like there's this kid at my church. He's awesome, dude. He's in like 3rd or 4th grade. His name's Jerry, which is amazing.
It's a great for like an 8-year-old. What a great name for a little kid.
It's fantastic. And Jerry wears like big belt buckles and cowboy hats sometimes. And he always comes up to me in church and chats me up. And he's always like, hey, Mr. Ted, how was your week? You know? And I'm just like, this kid's awesome. Like, no, I know 50 adults and none of them care how my week was, you know? So I always have a pleasant, like 5 or 6 minutes with Jerry at church. And it's a good time. So there are kids that I like.
Do you go out of your way then to tell Jerry's parents that Jerry is awesome?
Oh, absolutely, dude. I always text Jerry's dad. I'm like, hey, just FYI, your kids are amazing at talking. You know, they're all super fun to be around. Yeah, because it's noticeable. You know, it's like really noticeable. And, you know, when you like them, you like them.
Well, and I think the flip side of this is that we've talked about this on podcasts before about being a pet owner. You know, like Ronnie hates dogs. I think you're kind of on the less enjoyment of dogs because you know, so many dog owners just assume that everybody loves having their space invaded by a licking furball.
Yeah.
I'm a dog owner and I like dogs. But my assumption is that other people don't like dogs.
Yeah.
Which means that I would like to keep my dog constrained and maybe even away from other people until they let me know they would like the dog around. I kind of feel the same way about small children.
Yeah.
Like my children are... I mean, my children now, I can release them into the wild and they do fine. But like when they were, you know, 4 and 7, my assumption was not everybody wants to interact with small children. So like, I'm going to keep them constrained until somebody else like sits down on the floor and starts like playing blocks with them. And I'm like, oh, that person really likes little kids.
Yeah.
And seems like so many parents go through life thinking, oh, you are obliged to interact with my kid exactly how I interact with my kid. You're their jungle gym. You're their napkin. You're their Kleenex. You're their you're their microphone so they can scream into your ear. Like none of these things are true. I will remove your child from my space if they act like that because I'm not under obligation like that. That's the weird thing for me is that parents think the world must interact with their kids the way they do, even if they're bad at it.
Yeah. No, that's true. And I always appreciate... And gosh, I sound like I'm 94, but I always appreciate a parent who parents, and that makes everybody else's job so much easier. And it makes it pleasant to have people over to do a small group or whatever when you know that like the kid's not going to be like parkouring on and off all of your furniture and just tearing your place to pieces. But I'm 94.
Well, yes, me too. I've been 94 since I was like 20 on that front. Have you ever had the situation where you're talking to somebody? For us, this is usually going to be a church because that's where most of our sort of familial interaction is. And they're like, you know, they're bemoaning the fact that they don't get invited to somebody's house very much or something like that. And you know in your mind it's because they do not want your terrible children at their house.
Yeah, yeah.
How do you navigate that situation? Or do you just kind of nod knowingly and go, that's tough?
Yeah, it's weird. I'm getting more honest in my old age, which is scary. Like, I don't trust myself as much anymore. But, like, I'm doing less of the... I used to lie to people a lot in that Midwestern way of saying things like, oh, we should get together. You know, we should totally get together. But if there's someone who I know whose kids are a nightmare and I don't want them in my home, I'm not even saying it. Like, I'm not even like dangling that out there rhetorically, because I never want to follow through on it. And it's just weird. There would have been a time where I would have felt obligated. But yeah, I don't want to go away from an interaction like resenting it. You know what I mean? Like, I'm trying to whittle as much resentment out of my life as I possibly can, and kind of putting myself in the path of the oncoming freight train of resentment is not a thing I want to do.
Oh yeah, I yes, absolutely. I think I tend to judiciously avoid those situations. So it's just It has more to do with deflection than honesty. I'm not willing to look somebody in the face and go, you probably don't get invited over because your kids are a pain.
Yeah.
Because that's like...
Yeah, that would be a bridge too far. That'd be too
much. Yeah, that would cross the line, even if it's entirely accurate. Nor am I going to be like, oh, I'm so sorry. I would just...
Yeah.
I'm just going to kind of let that one slide and let the silence be pregnant and then change the subject. All right, one last question for you on this topic.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have two teenage sons, one of whom is at college, one of whom's high school. I have a middle schooler and a high schooler. What are the things that you hear as a parent that are the most sort of affirming? Like,
oh man,
we've done a few things right. And you know, it just sort of, you can kind of breathe easier. It takes a load off when you hear it about your kids.
Yeah, no, that's really good. And I'll say, by and large, in our church, at least, like I love other people's teenagers. Like, I really enjoy chatting with them, and I think that about my own kids, and it's the things that any parent would want to hear. Like, they're kind, they're respectful, they say thank you, they're good to everybody in their class. You know, there's a sense of, you know, he talks to everybody, you know what I mean? He doesn't just talk to the cool people or whatever. And those are the things that, as a parent, like, really, they really make you feel good. He's quick to apologize, right? So I'm under no sort of illusions that my kid is going to be perfect. But if he's quick to show remorse, if his heart is tender and soft and teachable, then I think we're doing something right. And it's good to hear those things, you know?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, totally. I think the I love to hear... I love to hear how they are when I'm not around, in a good way. You know, the honesty they have with friends or small group leaders, the stuff that's like, okay, good. This is their group of people. They can be totally themselves, their sense of humor, their, that kind of stuff. And so that stuff comes out. The thing that I've learned just in the last couple years is that those compliments, they make me feel good. They really matter for my kids.
Yeah.
So going back to them and being, you know, because kids catch a lot of, especially if you're in ministry, kids catch a lot of crap where, you know, people come to me and complain and that stuff rolls downhill. So I want to kind of roll the compliments downhill too and be like, hey, one of your youth leaders just mentioned they saw you, you know, interact with a new kid like this.
Yeah.
I think that's fantastic. Really proud of you for doing that. And just kind of reinforcing it that way.
Absolutely. No, that's huge, man. And that's kind of how they learn how to interact, and they learn what, you know, we value and what we celebrate, not only in the home, but like in the church, and what kind of behaviors are aspirational. And, those are all really good things. And, Yeah, there's a lot to like. And I think, you know, certain people are just inclined or less inclined to enjoy little kids. And I hear a lot of people complaining about teenagers, but I love teenagers.
Oh,
like,
absolutely.
I really enjoy
yes.
the company of teenagers. And I think different people are just gifted for different things. But
I think people complain about teenagers because they want to interact with them like little kids, and it doesn't work.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
yeah.
If you walk up to a teenager and you treat them like an adult,
yeah,
A, they will be entirely caught off guard until they're very comfortable with you.
Yeah.
But B, you will find aspects of who they are as a person that you would not find at all if you're like, we're going to treat them like kids, like, it's, you know, kind of the silly teen ministry or whatever. My daughter's friends are hilarious people. They're so fun to talk to, and they're caught off guard when you just shoot straight with them. You ask them questions, you make jokes, but they're a ton of fun to be around.
Yeah.
As long as you don't treat them like they're small children.
Yeah, exactly. Because they want to be, you know, talked to in a shooting straight kind of way. You know, I think that's what they want, because it conveys respect. And it's a blast when you get to that level with your kids and with their friends. It can be super fun. Pipe, what do you got?
All right. It's a very simple question that allows us to unburden our souls.
Okay.
Here's the question. What is parenting advice you wish you had gotten as a young parent?
Ooh. Parenting advice you wish you had gotten as a young parent. That's interesting. You know, I will unburden myself on this one. And I'll be interested to hear you on it too, Pipe. I wish, especially with Tristan, we had been better at like being more open to him having friends over more often. But I think because we didn't really like kids and we didn't want our house overrun with little boys, we always kind of farmed that out. You know what I mean? We always let that happen somewhere else. And, you know, whenever I read books or stories or even just hear anecdotes about great parents, there's a certain kind of great parent that's always like, oh, our house was the hub. You know, we had a ping pong table and all the video games, and we just wanted our kids with their friends at our house. And I'm like, yeah, that wasn't me. Oof. I really dropped the ball on that one. It definitely wasn't me. Oddly enough, I think it's kind of me now. Like, now that my son's 19 and he, you know, we have a cigar room in our house, like, he wants to bring his friends over now. And it's easier to have them now. So I'm glad it's happening, better late than never kind of thing. But I think we could have been a lot better at like being more open to having kids over when the boys were young.
Huh,
What's one for you, Pi?
There's two that come to mind. The first is, I wish somebody had basically walked into my apartment, because we lived in an apartment when my oldest daughter was really little, and just grabbed all the parenting books off the shelf and been like, here, let me unburden you of these. These are,
ooh, yeah.
Because for I would say there was low grade residual guilt for all the way up, I'd say the first 8 or 9 years of her life. Feeling like, I'm not shepherding my child's heart. I'm not parenting with grace. I mean, whatever. All these stupid Christian parenting books. And that essentially talk about the grace of God and then create a list of commandments to follow in order to have a great Christian kid. And I sucked at it.
Yeah.
And I wish I had just realized it's okay to suck at those things as long as you are actually living in the grace of God. And then just sort of inviting your kid into that. Like, these are, I think they're well-intentioned, but they create a burden of law. So I wish that's one. It's just basically like, here, ignore these. They're too much for you. They're not going to go well for you. The other one was, parenting can get better as your kids get older. Like, there's no reason. I've always loved my daughters, you know, but I didn't enjoy raising young kids. I was bad at it. Same. I don't resonate with young kids. I don't have any fun with young kids. And
I get that.
I would see these other, you know, the kinds of dads who are constantly like, they get home from work and they're like rolling around on the floor with their kids and all this stuff. And I was like, I don't want to do any of that, which must mean I'm terrible. Come to realize, like, once my kids could ride bikes, once my kids could carry on conversations, like, parenting only got better. Like, I have way more fun as a parent now than I did when they were 4 and 2. And I wish somebody had been like, it's okay. Like, you can be a really loving father without being the fun dad. And you grow into really good relationships with your kids. It would have just taken, I basically, all of that amounts to, I wanted the pressure taken off of me to be some sort of quintessential dad.
Yeah, no, that's good, man. And you know what I think sucks? And I can't fully tell this story without outing certain people, but I really am wary of people who platform themselves as any kind of an expert on parenting. You know, we have, you know, all Christian colleges have royal families.
Yes.
You probably had royal families at Wheaton, you know, like names of people who generations of this person has gone to Wheaton or Union or Taylor or whatever. And like, I found out recently that one of these royal families that we have has a, they do like a parenting podcast, and it's not doing their son any favors because now everybody's scrutinizing him. You know what I mean? Like, he has to be perfect just by sort of proxy or by nature of his association with like mom and dad wanting to platform themselves as like the last word on parenting. And I just think that whole thing sucks. What do you think?
Oh, absolutely. One of the things I'm very grateful for about my parents is that, you know, both of my parents are authors. My dad is obviously a very public figure. He doesn't comment on parenting because it has been a challenge for our family. Some of that's very public. Some of that is just behind the scenes. Sure. There has been some significant difficulties in the relationships between kids and parents, kids and kids, not like Hatfields and McCoys like fighting, but just some real pain, some real brokenness. And and so he's not about to get up and be like, here are seven principles of yada, yada, yada. And and, you know, he's occasionally talked about like family worship and family devotions and things like that. And that's about as far as he'll go, which I mean, I have enough scrutiny on me just because I shared a gene pool and a last name. If he had gotten up there and been like, here's how to raise awesome kids. That would have been the straw that broke the camel's back kind of thing. I think I wish more people would talk and write about parenting in a way that is very open-handed. Here are a few things that we've learned that have helped us. I also wish nobody would write about parenting until they have grown kids. In the same way that nobody should write about marriage until they've passed like their 40th wedding anniversary. Like, you know, there are stages of life that like, congratulations, you have a well-behaved 10-year-old. When that kid's 19, all of the pent up annoyance at your legalism is going to come out potentially. I think Paul Tripp wrote a parenting book like 2 years ago. His kids are like 30. Mm-hmm. That sounds about right to me. You know,
That's the time to do it.
It's also when you can honestly look back and be like, here's how I botched it, which I would love to read a book about by a famous Christian who's like, here's how I sucked as a parent. I would find great encouragement in that, because I could be like, hey, I didn't suck in that way. I'm better than he is. But that, I'm with you on the platforming yourself as a parent thing. Like, it should be done very open-handedly and also with a lot of tenure.
Yeah, no, I agree. You know, you kind of gotta take a wait and see, because if you do it when they're too young, you run the risk on like taking the victory lap too early, and we should probably never take the victory lap. You know, there's something to be said for just kind of humble obedience in the same direction on the parenting thing.
Well, and that's another thing that That's another thing that reminds me of a piece of advice I wish I had gotten early, which I came to realize, and it was such a massive relief. And it was basically like, you're not the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
You know, your best efforts at perfect Christian parenting are not guaranteed to create a perfect Christian child or even a Christian child at all. That is in the Holy Spirit's hands. Which once I realized that, I realized, oh, my job is not to turn my kid into a Christian. My job is to invite my child and kind of basically put them in the way of Christ, where like they're gonna intersect periodically and with consistency and let him do it. And that's where like there could be awesome parents with terrible grown children, and I would like to hear them talk about that. Hey, we tried it. We tried all of these things. We were humble in this way. We failed in this way. Our kids don't walk with the Lord. That's heartbreaking. Nobody wants to talk about their kids publicly. That's probably wise. But those things would be more encouraging to me than some sort of, you know, triumphalistic 8 steps to having, you know, the next John Calvin as your son or whatever.
Yeah. No, I couldn't agree more. And, you know, there's too much of that in the marketplace already, for sure. Pipe, that was really good. We've done what we always do on this Patreon-only program, in that we've talked about a thing that we've just talked about, maybe better than we talked about it on the original program. But I enjoyed it, man. I always appreciate your perspective. And until next time.
We want to take a moment to thank the team at Life Audio for partnering with us on this podcast. Be sure to go to lifeaudio.com and take a look at the other podcasts in their network. They've got shows about prayer, Bible study, parenting, and more.
If you're tired of parenting advice and news headlines that are more confusing than assembling IKEA furniture, we've got just the podcast for you. My dear friend Abby and I are here to help you navigate the parenting roller coaster.
Should your kids be on social media? What should you tell a friend facing an unplanned pregnancy? These are just some of the many questions we tackle on our podcast.
Subscribe to The Real Deal of Parenting wherever you find your podcast.